This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, we told you we're going to give away these Harlem Globetrotter tickets. Caller 10, 800-636-1067. We'll give you the tickets to go see the Globetrotter Saturday, March 8th at Capital One Arena. Tickets on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. So David Bernad is joining us in the studio. Who's David Bernad? Mm-hmm. On the show, basically 25 years ago, he was known as Clank David. I told this recently when we said you were coming on the show. The reason is he had this college basketball reputation, played basketball at Bullis. First time we go play at the George Mason Fieldhouse with Brett. I don't know. My bar was really high. Like, my expectations for David were like great, and he was fine, but he wasn't as good as what I thought. Called him Clank David. It stuck.
Yeah.
Well, and I think he was always bitter. Like, he would get mad because he was like, we got to play again.
Sure.
He wanted to, like, prove himself.
You can tell he's a passionate dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Passionate dude. All right, so tell us the story that you said that you were going to save it for the air about, you know, how when you're a kid and sometimes people say things to you, and we actually said something to you that stuck with you.
He said it penetrated, and not many things penetrate.
Like I said, I was 20. It was very impressionable. I was searching for mentors.
Okay. At that point. We were your guys.
Yeah. You guys were mentors.
By the way, Valdez, are you impressed by any of this? This superstar that we've groomed?
I'm very impressed. I want to know where I went wrong in life.
Why are you still here?
Yeah. My head hurts from hitting the glass ceiling.
Because you were listening at the same time.
Yeah. Right.
So you're at Bullis. You listen to us.
And I think you're a very creative guy.
I'm very impressed, and I like all of his shows. I was a big fan of Jury Duty, huge fan of White Lotus.
Yep,
right.
Not so much D-Train.
It's okay, man. It's all
good. Go ahead, David. So what is? Give us the setup.
So yeah, so I'm 20. You know, looking up to you guys, and for me again, like, that summer was one of the best summers of my life. I had so much fun working for you guys. I loved it.
Were we dicks? I mean,
no.
We kind of were.
No, you were.
In good spirit.
You guys were great. You were a little bit standoffish. Mm-hmm.
Me personally?
Yes, you were a little aloof.
Yeah.
I was always trying to make you laugh.
Me?
Yeah. But, and you know, so I can't remember if it was Jason. So basically, one of you guys, it might have been Jason, said to me, go, listen. So I was 20 at the time. He goes, listen, the best years of your life, 23 to 25.
It's probably Jason.
And he goes, best years of your life. Goes downhill from there. I was like, wow, really? And
that's
so
definitely a Jason.
I'm like,
he's probably drunk.
Yeah.
But he said it to me, and I was like, oh my God. And I'm telling you right now, like, you know, I have very close friends from Bullis, but close friends from college. I am the only friend in my group that is single, not married. I'm still living like I'm 23. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I gotta just never get older than 23.
Right. Yeah. You're stuck.
For real.
So maybe we ruined your life.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But there's some truth to that in that. All right, 23 to 25. Like, I wanted to go to his premiere last night, but I had to take my kid to swimming practice. My wife's working. Right. Can't make it to a premiere.
I know. I said that someone else said it to me yesterday, too. You're like, you don't know. You're like, you're trying to schedule and make plans. You don't understand what it means to be married or have kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like just single. I have no responsibility. So, drop of a hat, I'm anywhere.
Right.
And I don't contextually understand my friend's dilemma.
But so you have parents. Right. Are your brothers married? You said your brothers are in L.A.
My
too?
Little brother's married, has a kid. My little brother's single. So
are they in the business? Did you bring them along? Or
my little brother, we always had this dream of working together. He you know, one day he may start writing. We're still waiting. He's 42 now. My older brother. My older brother was a doctor, moved to LA, and he married someone famous, and now he kind of just
chills.
Know, chills, yeah. Mm.
Come on, who's the famous person that he married?
He's married to Sia, the singer.
Oh, oh yeah, that's unbelievable.
Pretty famous.
Yeah, who's great? He's wonderful. Yeah.
So he doesn't even practice medicine
anymore.
Doesn't
practice
anymore. Yeah, well, let me look up her net worth.
Now yeah. She was the one that was famous because she would hide behind her hair for the longest time, right? Because she's self conscious about stuff.
Well, I think she that's a
that's
genuine
sister-in-law.
She's wonderful. Yeah. She's great. She's wonderful. She's great to my family and my brother. I think my brother, he was a radiation oncologist and worked insane hours, and I think she was kind of recognized that he should, you know, take a break,
right, and relax, enjoy life
a
little bit.
So what has he become good at? Is he a good golfer, tennis player? What does he do?
He's great at going to parties. He's like, he's a socialite. He's like, what's the best party in the world? He'd be like, okay, what month are we talking? January, okay. Phuket, Circle Loco, great right. party. February, you got to go to Rome. You know, right. he knows where to be at any moment.
All right, so let's get to White Lotus. New York Post had a nice article about White Lotus.
Very good. Yeah. How about David?
Where David's got pictures in the New York Post and everything.
Part of what I love about White Lotus is I can be transported to all these beautiful places without leaving my home. I don't need to fly to Thailand. I can watch White Lotus. I don't need to go to Italy. I can watch White Lotus. Don't need to go to Hawaii. Can watch White Lotus.
So part of the article was about how you choose locations.
Yeah.
So obviously there's somebody writing a script.
Yeah.
Well, when does the location get in there? Because I would think they write the location in the script and then you got to make it happen.
Yeah,
that way?
No, I think I think the first thought is like, what is the theme of the season? Season two, we wanted to explore sexual politics. So really we were like Europe. We wanted to go to Europe. We wanted a country.
What does sexual politics mean?
I think like this first season was really about money and power.
Yeah.
I think season two was always going to be this kind of bedroom farce and kind of this idea of the complexity of sexuality and kind of how sex kind of can drive our decision-making and really kind of, it's a creative power dynamic between couples or, you know, people that are single. And so we were really focused on France and Italy, and we didn't know where we were going to go. And Mike, who writes all the scripts, wasn't sure. And we went on a scout, and it's kind of like speed dating. And you're kind of going to go and you're like, you know, I'm seeing three hotels a day. Mm-hmm. And you're going to the best hotels in the world, but you're for 3 weeks, we're in a van or flying around and you're basically going in and immediately you're like, this is not right.
You're trying to think how it's going to look on TV or whatever.
Yeah. Or, yeah. You know, you're looking at photos. It's kind of like online dating. You're like, you know, swiping on Raya or something. You're like, right. Oh, she looks odd. And then you sit down, you're like, oh, it's not for me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it's like with these hotels. But then you have to be nice. So you basically have to spend an hour faking it. Oh, cool.
You know, right away. Right.
You know,
out.
Right away. Yeah. So then you have to like struggle through an hour of small talk with these random GMs. And so season three, we were like, okay, we're going to go shoot in Japan. We were like, we love Japan. We almost did a movie in Japan. And HBO was like, just as a courtesy, go to Thailand. Just do us a favor. There's a great rebate there. It's cheaper to shoot. Just, you know, go check it out. So we're like, okay, sure.
So they're on board. Mike is writing the script. You're producing. They're the glue guy.
Yes, the glue guy. And so I was in Italy doing Immaculate, and I flew from Rome to Bangkok, and we started our search, and we started in Thailand. And we just kind of fell in love with Thailand, and it's one of those countries that just the warmth of the people, food, the culture, it's very intoxicating. And so we started traveling through, and really the reality of what happened was we were in the north in Chiang Mai, and Mike got bronchitis and was really sick and ended up in the hospital. And I think the way the nurses treated him really kind of just made him fall in love with Thailand. And they gave him this thing called a nebulizer. It's a strong steroid. Took a nebulizer. He was up for 2 days hallucinating.
Mm.
And he literally hallucinated the season. And the next day he gets in the van and he says to me, I haven't slept in 2 days and I have these really vivid dreams. And this is what I dreamt. And
that's like a vision.
Yeah. And that's basically what we shot. And then by the time we left Thailand and went to Japan, we knew we were shooting in Thailand. And then the whole Japan trip became this like vacation for us.
Let's just enjoy it.
Let's just use HBO's money and have a great time in Japan. And basically what we shot is what he dreamt.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And then are you involved in that creative part of it? The story that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, with Mike specifically, Mike is a genius. He breaks a story. It's all out of his head. When he wants to bounce ideas off of someone,
you
I'm the
listen
guy.
To him.
Yeah. I'm the guy, and he'll ask me my opinion. And we've had a 20-year collaboration, so I'm there for when he needs me. Mm-hmm. Something like Jury Duty, mm-hmm. I'm breaking the story. I'm coming up with ideas with writers, and that's something that's like an all-encompassing creative experience. White Lotus, similar, but I'm basically there when he needs me.
I've only seen one episode of season 3. It's all that's been out so far, but Patrick Schwarzenegger is very horny in the first
very
episode.
Horny.
He's
yeah.
very horned
he,
up.
He gets hornier.
You see everything, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Patrick Schwarzenegger. What's up with a penis in White Lotus? There's so much penis in this season.
Penis.
You got to give people David. What they want. Yeah. People Twitter loves penises. You got to give them what they want.
Yeah. Does HBO have a problem? Like, what's the line?
There's no line, I think, with HBO. We haven't found it. If there's a line, we haven't found it yet.
Shows, I mean, now that shows are streaming, it's different how people consume it. But with White Lotus, it's every Sunday night.
Yeah, and I think it creates, you know, a water cooler, hopefully, whatever a water cooler is, if that exists anymore. And I think it allows the show to build and the conversation to build. And in season 1, no one knew what it was. And I think if we had put 6 episodes out on a, you know, Friday night on Netflix or something, no one would have found it. And I think just the build, the slow build of the show and the twists and kind of the whodunit allowed the show to build organically. And I'll just say this season, I think, is the best season we've done. And we kind of, it gets to a demonic place, as I say it. It gets to a really unexpected demonic place. And I love it, and I'm excited for people to see what happens.
You got Walter Goggins in it, who a lot of people love him from a lot of his work. He kind of first burst on the scene in The Shield.
Yeah. He's very cranky in the first episode. He's
got a lot of character just in his face, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's an epic guy. Mm. I love Walton. He's like an actor's actor, incredibly fun. He's like a guy's guy.
Great guy. Leslie Bibb, who, I don't know, she's been in a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. My wife and I used to watch some show. She did Housewife or American Housewife or something like that on ABC.
Yeah.
So, can I ask you a really good broad question?
Yeah.
Oh, you said you've done thousands of meetings. You've met all these people. You've worked on all these different sets.
Yeah.
Who are the most brilliant, like truly the most brilliant people that
you've
seen?
Well, it sounds like Mike
industry.
White.
Mike
White's
woke
one.
Woke up from like
he's
a fever
genius.
Dream and just had the whole season like in his head.
Is there someone like, you know, like they always think like, who's a guy, like maybe even Ashton Kutcher, you don't even give him that much credit for, but he, you know, like people might think he's not brilliant, but maybe he is, I don't know. Who's the guy that does, you know, that we think is not so great, but you're like, no, this person's brilliant.
That's a great question. Oh, God.
They always make fun of Keanu Reeves, you know, people like that.
But he's, I mean, that's the thing is like, I think to have that level of success and that sustained career, you have to be brilliant. Like James Marsden, I think, is brilliant. He's a brilliant comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He's so funny. He's a great, and what he does is so difficult. He rides the line between drama and comedy and kind of, you can do Paradise and you can do Jury Duty. And there's not a lot of people that can do
And he can
Those
do like he's a star in one of the Disney movies with Amy Adams.
He's an incredible singer.
Can do a lot of,
by the way, Mike White
range.
Competed on Survivor in Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Valdez, you're gonna love Mike White. He was
I've already seen a season of Survivor.
So by the way, Amazing Race, I had friends of mine from college. I started with Mike. We were working in editorial together, and I was trying to connect with them. Like it was my first week on the job, and I was like, oh, you know, I love Amazing Race. He loved Amazing Race. And I was like, we should apply together. And so Mike and I go out. We were wearing matching blue velour jumpsuits. We ran around LA filming this stupid video. We fill out the application. I drive to El Segundo. I drop it off in a box. 2 weeks later, CBS calls us. And I eventually got recast. They just didn't like me. And I got recast.
Unbelievable. It's a reality show.
I got recast for his dad. And I was so relieved because I was like, 26, and I didn't want to be on a reality show.
Right. Oh my God.
But I'll tell you something that was funny.
The best thing ever happened to you.
The best thing that ever happened to me. I remember I worked for you guys that summer. The next summer, I go down out to LA, and I was telling you guys in the break.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I always wanted to impress you guys. You guys were like that like withholding father that I just wanted to impress. And so I was working at Warner Brothers, and every actor that would come in, I would try to like buddy up with to get their info to call you guys and be like, hey, I got this guy so they can be a guest on the show.
Right. And I wanted to be Ryan the Bellhop.
Yeah.
And LL Cool J came in. And I was like, okay, this is my shot. I'm like, I got a buddy up to LL Cool J. I was like 21 at this time.
Right.
Probably wearing like bad outfit, bad suit or something. And I remember like buddying up with him and like, da-da-da. And I remember I was like, yeah, you know, these guys in DC, should be on their show. And he gave me someone's info. He's like, call my manager or something.
Right.
Like that. And I remember emailing you guys or calling you guys, being like, I got LL Cool J's info. I'm gonna get him on the show. And he probably gave me some fake email.
Right.
Anyways, I never delivered. But I'm gonna deliver someone for you guys next time I see you guys.
You delivered yourself, man. It's been an awesome time reconnecting with you. We got another guy coming on the show, Jim Van Stone, coming up next. But that's
Thank you, David Burnett. Great to see you guys. Watch the next episode of White Lotus
on Max this Sunday for the Junkies. Be right back.